Turn with me, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing the Corinthians, and he is trying to encourage them in the truth and the gospel that he preached to them. And he's telling them that his intention was to come and preach to them again. And he said in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 15, he said, "In this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit." I wanted to come preach the gospel to you again. Verse 16, "And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness?" Was I flippant about it in my thoughts? "And well, I think I'll just go do this or go do that." He said, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus," he said that message was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Now, I felt led to come to this text and this message because of the last verse that we just looked at in our Bible study. The very last verse there in Matthew 5. Turn with me, if you would, back over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is where we ended. And what our Lord is saying here is, don't make empty promises. Verse 37, he said, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." He said, don't make empty promises. And let's go ahead and read between the lines and think on Christ and think on his word and his salvation. This is what he said. Don't make empty promises. He said, it's a sin against God. That's the glory of the message. Don't make empty promises. He said, "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no." Don't let your yes be no, and your no be yes. Don't make empty promises. And he said, don't make promises at all, because you can't count on your ability to keep them. You just can't. You don't know if your yes will be yes. Verse 33, back up a few verses, Matthew 5, verse 33. He said, "Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself." Don't say, "I swear to do something." "But shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head. Don't swear on yourself. Because you can't make one hair white or black. I read that and I think, well, you know, ladies like to dye their hair. And yeah, you're dyeing your hair, but you're not really changing that gray hair to black again or whatever color it was. Just give it a little bit of time and the truth will come out. We can't. We can't. And this is what we all need to realize. There's only one God. There's only one God, and we are not Him. And our works are not His. And we must bow to Him. Verse 37, He said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." He said, God is the only one who has the ability to make a promise and keep that promise. God is the only one. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news for all of us. God has made a promise. Isn't that glorious? God Almighty made a promise. The only man who can say, I promise. Hebrews 6 says, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He said, I swear by myself. He made a promise. And because God made that promise, he will keep that promise. He said, not one word of mine shall fail. Isaiah 42, God the Father said, behold my servant, Jesus Christ the Son. He said, he shall not fail. Because he said it, it will be done. Have not I spoken it, and shall I not do it? Just because he said it, you can count on it. It's going to be done. He will keep it. All of his promises are amen. All of his yeas are amen. And this is what I want us to get a hold of this morning. God cannot lie. That's what Titus 1 verse 2 says. It says, God cannot lie. Everything that he has said in this book is a promise. We read these things and we're constantly hearing the word shall. And in all of these definite words, these are all promises. Everything he says, everything that comes out of his mouth is a promise. Ordered and sure, calculated. It's a promise. And every promise will come to pass. Not one promise will be empty. Not one yea will be nay. Not one of them. Every word of promise in this book will be amen. Now that's starting with the promise of warning, the promise of judgment, the promise of condemnation. Our Lord has made promises concerning these things. God told Adam, let's just see the proof of it in this. God told Adam, he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told Adam, in the day that you eat of this fruit and sin against me, thou shalt surely die. That was a promise. And he did it. And he died. In that moment, he died spiritually. We can't see spiritual life. One day we'll know it as we've been known, but all we can see and experience in the flesh is physical life. Adam died spiritually. Proof of that is eventually he died physically. Dying, he died. So God said, in the day you do that, you'll die. And he did. God's promise held true. In Genesis 6, the Lord looked down on all men. And he saw that they were only evil continually. Every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. So the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man with a flood. And he did. That was a promise, and he fulfilled his promise. The Lord told Abraham, he said, your seed, that means your children. You know, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. The children of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. The children of Israel. He said to Abraham, your children are going to be in bondage for 400 years. And they were. To Egypt, just like God said they'd be. That promise held true. Our Lord said he hates sin. And he said that he will punish all sin. And if we want to know if he will hold true to that promise, all we have to do is look at the cross of Calvary. That's all we have to do. Just look at what God the Father did to his own son. If a man on this earth wants to know, will God punish me for my sin? Look at God's own precious son. Look at his own spotless son. Christ the Son, who bore the sin of his people, had all of our sin laid on him as he stood before God. So every promise of God will hold true. And what I want us to do now is just look at a few of his promises. And let's see and let's establish the fact that they are not yea and nay. They are yea and amen. What he has said, we can count on it. We can truly count on it. Now, there are promises on every page of this book. Again, everything that he has said is a promise. We're going to spend our lifetime looking at promise after promise after promise. And I don't just mean on this earth, in glory too. Not one word shall fail. We're going to spend our life looking at promise after promise after promise. For this message, though, let's just look at three. All right, we'll just look at three promises. We're going to dwell on three of his promises. And let's see if the Lord will convince us of the fact that they are yea and amen. Here's the first one. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying. That means this is the truth. You can count on this. This is a promise from God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means you can believe this. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is a promise from God to us. That's a promise from God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'll tell you who will be able to cling to that promise. A sinner will. A sinner will. You know, all men and women are sinners, but they don't know it. They don't realize it until God reveals it to them. But if God reveals that to somebody and they really know, I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner, that's the person who will cling to that promise. Truly cling to that word. If you know that you're a sinner, then that's the most beautiful thing your ears will ever hear. Christ came for sinners. He came to save sinners. Now, I'm just going to confess something to you. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I am. I know that I am. I would imagine that's probably shocking to hear somebody stand up in a pulpit and say. But I know that I'm a sinner. And those of you who know me well at all, you know that I'm a sinner. You know that I am. Because of that, honestly, every time my heart hears 1 Timothy 1:15, I think, thank God. Every time I think that's the greatest news I've ever heard. Thank God. That's the greatest news I've ever heard. Greatest news I've ever been told. Christ came to save sinners. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, verse 27. It says, "And after these things, he went forth, our Lord went forth, and he saw a publican." Now, if you don't know what a publican is, they're bad. I mean, even sinners would look at publicans and say, yeah, they're bad. "After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made our Lord a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans." That one publican started calling other publicans and said, "You ought to come to my house." There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees, the religious, the self-righteous ones, they murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, I wish that I was righteous in my flesh like Christ is. Whenever we hear that he didn't come to call the righteous, it's not that they're bad. It's just that they're sinners who think they're self-righteous. I wish I had the righteousness of Christ. I wish I was righteous just like he is. But me wishing that can't change the fact that I'm not. A poor man could wish that he was rich, but that wouldn't change the fact that he's poor. And I can't change the fact that in my wretched flesh, I'm nothing but a sinner. In my flesh, I'll never be righteous. But thank God, he said, "I did not come to save the righteous. I came to save you. I came to save sinners like you." And that's glorious news to me because that's what I am. And I know that's glorious news to you because I know you like you know me. You're a sinner too. Thank God. You know, the poet said, "A sinner is a sacred thing." Somebody who knows something of his sin. "A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so." The Holy Ghost has revealed that to him. Now, you may hear men lie on our God by saying that his promise that we read there in 1 Timothy 1 and here in Luke. You may hear men say that it's yea and nay. Men say that all the time. They stand up in pulpits and they tell people that Christ came to save sinners. But if you want to be saved, you better not be one. That's yea and nay. If you're going to be saved, you better get rid of your sin. You better They'll say, he didn't come to call the righteous, but if you're going to be saved, you better make yourself to be righteous. What? Is that boast? Is that yay and nay? God's promise on this is yea and amen. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm so glad that he did because I'm the chief. So that's our first promise. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All right, here's the second promise. Go with me to John 19. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And it is finished. This is a promise from God that is yes and yes. Yes and so be it. Not yes and no. Yea and amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and it is finished. The message of error with each one, let me just point out the lie, okay, the error. This he said, do not let it be a yea and nay. And the error, the message of lies that men will stand up in pulpits and say, is this. They'll say, now Christ saved you, but you're going to have to save yourself. Wait a minute, what? They say, Christ died to put away your sins, but now you're going to have to put away your sins too. You're going to have to do something about your sin. Christ died to do something about your sin, but now you're going to have to do something about your sin. Well, did he save me or not? Did he save me or not? Well, they say yes and no. That's what they say. Yay and nay. He did. Oh, yes. Now, he did. But the work is not finished yet. Well, if that's the case, then he didn't save me. But thank God that's not the case. Christ saved his people from their sins. And that's yea and amen. He took all of the sin away from his people. And I just hope we can get a hold of that. You know, we are sinners, and we're going to sin till the day we leave this earth. And Christ has already taken our sin. He took the past sins, the current sins, and the future sins, and he laid them on himself. I don't know how old I'll live to be, but if I live to be another, 10, 20, 30 years, I don't know. I'm going to be a sinner for the next 10, 20, 30 years. And if I belong to him, whatever I commit during that period of time has already been laid on him. It's what sent him to the grave. It's what separated him from God. I did. Christ bore it, and God dealt with him. God punished my sin on him and in him. And it's yea and amen. Christ poured out his blood to pay for it. And in doing that, he satisfied everything. And that's, again, why God raised him from the dead. He paid the uttermost farthing. And with him being raised, God's people are going to be raised with him to eternal life. So his death is what brought pardon and life to his people. And here's the thing. It's finished. It's finished. Go with me to John 17. John 17, verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Watch verse 4. He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." If we want to cling to a promise from God that's yea and amen, we can cling to this. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and it is finished. He did it, and it's done. Now let's look at one more promise before we close, all right? Turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6, verse 37, our Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If we truly do see ourselves to be sinners, if we truly do, then we can rest in the assurance and the promise of the Word of God that if we come to Christ for mercy and for grace to help in time of need, if we come honestly, and one man made this statement, and it's so true. He said, "Your sin will never keep you away from Christ." He said, "Your self-righteousness will." That lie that I'm worthy. But if we come honestly, sincerely, acknowledging what we are, then he will in no wise cast us out. You want to talk about great news? You want to talk about great news? He said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's his promise to us. And it's yea and amen. Our Lord said in Matthew 5, where we were, he said, "It's a sin against God to go back on your promise." Even just one promise, it's a sin against God to go back on your promise. Christ said, "That's why I'll never do it." In him was no sin. He knew no sin. And he said, "I'll never do it. I'll never fail God, or the law, or you in keeping one of my promises." And based on his own word, he said, "Here are my promises. I came to save sinners. It is finished. And now you can come to me and rest." That's wonderful, wonderful promises. And there's so many more where that came from. All right, Brother Eddie, you come and lead us.